The first lesson today comes from Ecclesiastes. We're in chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 16 and 17. Let us listen to God's word. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, wickedness was there as well. And I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for he has appointed a time for every matter and for every work. The word of the Lord.
This Sunday ends this sermon series on togethering, and as I read this passage, you'll hear a number of familiar themes. So I encourage you to listen as Paul addresses the church in Rome. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We don't live to ourselves, and we don't die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brothers or sisters? Or why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. The word of the Lord. Well, he managed to break all three rules. He managed to break all three rules of speaking on the floor of presbytery. Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar with presbytery, it is the local jurisdiction of PCUSA Presbyterian churches, and we gather several times a year, and there are always things we have to vote on. There are always motions that come to the floor on which people are supposed to vote. Now, it's made clear at the beginning of every meeting that there are three rules that one is to follow if you are going to speak on a motion. The first is you address the moderator and not the people gathered. The second is that you are to speak for or against the motion or ask a question. And the last is you are never, ever to make it personal. And this person managed to break all three of those rules. He stood up, he was recognized by the moderator, he stood up and he turned to the gathered commissioners at the meeting and addressed them with his back to the moderator. He then didn't speak for or against the motion. He essentially said that the motives of those people who made this motion were nefarious at best. And then he went on to describe those people who made the motion as, in my own Texas upbringing words, low-down varmints. Now, As I listened to him, I wished I'd been the moderator because I would have cut him off at the knees. But the moderator at the time was much nicer than me and just let him go on and break the rules. And as you can see, and this is many years ago, you can see I've not gotten over it. But I was processing that moment this week, and I realized that I think I know what happened. That this individual had an outbreak of one of the most fundamental viruses of the human condition. He had an outbreak of judgmentalitis. So, the interesting thing about judgmentalitis is that as a virus, you can't, there's no blood test to see if you've got it. You can't stick a swab up your nose to see if you've got it. You know you have judgmentalitis by the symptoms, and there's one main symptom of judgmentalitis. Now, some people think that the symptom of judgmentalitis is disagreement, or maybe even being disagreeable, but that's not a symptom. People are going to disagree. People are going to disagree about all sorts of things, but that doesn't mean you have judgmentalitis. In fact, our tradition, our Presbyterian and Reformed tradition, says one of the great things about it is that we can disagree with one another, that's okay, that in fact people will do it. So that's not the main symptom of judgmentalitis. So the main symptom of judgmentalitis is judging people to the point we despise them. That's judgmentalitis. And if you notice, in Paul, this chapter of Paul's letter, he opens and closes with that word, despise. In verse 3, those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And then in verse 10, why do you despise your brothers and sisters? That's a fascinating Greek word. And what the word actually means is to see someone as less than nothing. Less than nothing. That you see them as less than nothing. You treat them as less than nothing. That's how you understand their being. That's judgmentalitis. And if you look around, and I was listening to Cindy's words a few minutes ago, judgmentalitis does that, sees people as less than nothing, sort of despises them for all sorts of reasons. We see people as less than nothing for where they grew up, how they dress, where they live, what they do for a living, the amount of education they have, too much, too little. We do it for the color of their skin. We do it because of who they love. We do it for all sorts of reasons that when judgmentalitis sort of raises its head, that we get this bad case of it, we have a tendency to see people for all sorts of reasons as less than nothing. Now, I wish I could say that this was some sort of modern disease that just showed up recently, but if you listen to Paul's piece here to the church at Rome, you begin to understand that judgmentalitis has been around for a very long time. In fact, in the church in Rome, the people were judging each other to the point of despising each other over at least two things. Paul raises these two things. As Cindy said, the first was about what you ate. This had to do with eating meat or not eating meat. And this didn't have anything to do with how healthy you were. It was that almost all meat was sacrificed to the idols in Roman temples and then taken out to the meat markets to be sold. So some Christians said, well, if I eat that meat, then it means that I am worshiping the gods of Rome, so I'm not going to do it. And other people said, nah, meat is meat. I want a burger. Let's just eat. And so what they would do was each side would essentially judge and despise the other for what they were doing. The second had to do with special holy days. What day did we meet as a community? Did we meet on Friday? Did we meet on Saturday? Did we meet on Sunday? Do we have special holidays or holy days? Some people said yes, some people said no. And so instead of simply getting along and saying, fine, you believe what you want, they judged one another and came to the point of despising each other and seeing each other as less than nothing. And what that was doing was it was dividing and destroying the church. That when they had people come together who saw each other as less than nothing, it was tearing the fellowship of the community of Jesus Christ apart. Now, I don't know if you all have noticed this, but it's come to my attention that it appears as if the virus of judgmentalitis has suddenly had a massive outbreak here in the United States. That people have come to the place where they are judging one another, not just on all those other things that I talked about a minute ago that we've sort of always judged people on and seen as less than nothing, but we're doing it over politics. We see each other as less than nothing because of who we support, who we vote for, whose lawn sign we put in the front yard. And we begin to see each other as less than nothing. And the problem with that is that this judgmentalitis is tearing the church apart. It's tearing families apart. It's tearing communities apart. It is tearing this nation apart. And I say that because I will admit, I'm the first one that'll freely admit that I see judgmentalitis rearing its head up in me. And I'm catching myself with this desire to see others as less than nothing. So what's the solution? Is there something we can take that will stop this? Just like we're looking for something to take care of this virus, is there something that will take care of this once and for all and allow us to no longer be affected by judgmentalitis? The answer is no. I wish there were. I wish there were something we could take, a shot we could get that would stop it from happening, and we would all sing kumbaya and walk arm in arm into the future. But the fact is, there just isn't. There isn't. And yet, there is something we can take that will help to lessen the effects. There is something we can take that will help lessen the outbreak and the severity of the outbreak of judgmentalitis. And what is that something we can take? It's this. It's the bread and the cup. The bread and the cup can help diminish the outbreak. And I say that because when we take the bread and the cup, what we are acknowledging is the death of Jesus Christ for the world. Jesus Christ giving His life for red states and blue states, for Republicans and Democrats, for conservatives and liberals, for supply-siders and socialists, for Donald Trump and Joe Biden, for John James and Gary Peters, that at this table we stand as one humanity. That Jesus Christ gave His life for all people of all skin colors, of all sexual orientations, of all religions, of all languages. We are all one humanity under the living God. And so when we take the bread and the cup, I hope it will be a powerful reminder that we are not to judge or despise anyone. And so my challenge to you on this morning is that as you take the bread and the cup in a few minutes, you will see it as an antidote to judgmentalitis, and that you will pledge yourself to be to an awareness of when judgmentalitis lifts its head, that you will return to the table again and again and again, so that rather than judging, we will be welcoming. Rather than judging, we will be loving. Rather than despising, we will be encouraging. And if you want to see what this looks like, I don't know what year the movie Places in the Heart was made. Cindy reminded me it was filmed in Waxahachie, Texas. But I encourage you to find it. If it's on Netflix, if it's wherever it is, find it, watch it. And watch it through to the very end. And see what coming to the table really looks like. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you, your Son, gave his life for all of us, for all of humanity. Give us the courage and the ability to come to the table and allow it to push judgmentalitis aside and allow us to be your welcoming people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.